Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The Word was made flesh, made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son of God. You recognize both of those phrases. We're just coming off the glorious Christmas Eve and Christmas Day worship, and we're not done yet because grace and mercy and peace are still yours. As you and I rejoice in what Christmas is all about, even today. As we continue to celebrate our Savior's birth, you may, however, feel a little more like that. Because that's kind of what the world has done. Everything was done on December 25th. If you were listening to the radio, you were hearing more and more Christmas music, and then the 26th came, and it was as if nothing had happened. Everything was back to normal. Perhaps some of the things that you had planned are now over and done. The presents have been given, they have been unwrapped, the thank yous have been offered, the company went home, and you went back to the store and returned the gift. And did something else. Maybe your tree has not been dragged through the house and the pine needles have been strewn all over the floor quite yet, but perhaps in your mind you're already starting to move on. You're already moving on to the next big thing. Maybe it's New Year's Eve. You're already beginning to think about the stuff that's waiting for you at work when you go back here in the next couple of days, and the brain is moving on to something else. How easy it is for you and for me, God's people, to kind of fall into that pattern of Christmas starting Thanksgiving, Halloween, 4th of July. I'm not sure when it starts. But ends Christmas Day, 25th. You're done, now it's time to do something else. We're only on the third day of Christmas. The church celebrates Jesus' birth for 12 days. Because the birth of our Savior is not just a one-day deal. What Christ accomplished for us when He entered into this world cannot be handled in just one or two services. You and I rejoice in the fact that there is no other God, and Christmas proves it. So we are going to turn our attention to our first lesson for this morning, the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 45. And throughout that lesson, as you remember listening to it, God hammered that point home. There is no other God. No other God promised Christmas. No other God provided Christmas. There is no other God. So as you and I think about how the fact that there is no other God who has promised Christmas, we turn our attention to the first couple of verses of our lesson. Isaiah 45 has been kind of focusing in on the fact of this man named Cyrus. If you remember, Isaiah spends much of his book revolving around this idea of the Babylonian captivity. It was going to be another 200 years or so before this actually took place. But he had been reminding Judah, he had been reminding Jerusalem, he had been warning the people because of their rebellion, because of their idolatry, because of their refusal to follow in the ways of their Lord and their God, they couldn't stay in the land. There was going to be an exile. Babylon was going to come in. Haul them away, the temple would be destroyed. But as you get further into the book, especially in the second half, he starts looking past that exile. Here he's actually looking past the exile, and he's looking to the next major world power under the leadership of Cyrus. That was the Persians. They were going to come in. They were going to defeat Babylon. And then once again, there was going to be this displacement that took place. And Isaiah sees that as he talks about these survivors of the nations. He says, gather, come, draw near together, you survivors from the nations. They have no knowledge, those who are lifting up their idols of wood and praying to a God that cannot save. Make an announcement and come close. Let them consult together. Who made this known ahead of time? From time past, who announced it? Was it not I, the Lord? There is no God except me, a righteous God and Savior. There is no one except me. Isaiah looks ahead and he sees all of these survivors fleeing the oncoming attack, fleeing those who are going to be attacking and defeating their nations. And as he looks at those survivors, he scratches his head and he says, you people have no understanding. Look at what you're carrying as you are fleeing from this oncoming army. You are dragging along these hunks of wood, is how he kind of literally describes it. Dragging along these hunks of wood, and you're calling them gods. You're busy praying to them. And in today's phrases, maybe you'd say, so how's that working for you? If these hunks of wood were actually gods, if you could actually trust them to save you, then why are you running? Then why are you fleeing? If you're asking for protection and safety, then how come you're not getting it? You have no understanding. If you're going to trust something that's part of the creation, if you're going to trust something that you made and you came up with in your own mind, it simply cannot help. So let's make a comparison. Let's take a look at your so-called gods that you're dragging along with you, and let's take a look at the true God. Make a comparison. So who is the one who said this was all going to happen? Did your gods ever tell you that Cyrus was coming? Did your gods ever tell you that there was going to be this exile, but then there would be a return? Did your gods ever say that? No. Only one God ever did that. There is only one God. In fact, he says, there is no one except me. There is only one righteous God. Absolutely perfect in all the promises that he made, absolutely righteous in all these predictions that he made, absolutely righteous in taking care of his people, guiding them, even perhaps correcting them as needed. That perfect, righteous God who also served as their Savior. None of this should have been a surprise. God had been saying it all along. There is no other God. He's the only one who made those promises. And now you and I marvel this morning at that very same righteous, perfect Savior God. There is no other God. Only God promised Christmas. You saw this coming. You knew there was going to be a Christmas. God had been telling us all along. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, the very first gospel promise in the Garden of Eden. I will put hostility between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head and you will crush his heel. Granted, not a lot of detail there, but someone's coming. One of Eve's descendants is going to come and crush Satan's head. God made that promise. And as you go through the Old Testament, our Lord and our God takes those promises. And there is only one God. No other God promised Christmas. And he begins to hone it. And he begins to refine it. And he begins to sharpen it. And gives us more and more details. A descendant of Eve kind of narrows it down to everybody. So God narrows it down some more. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country and away from your relatives and from your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who dishonors you. All of the families of the earth will be blessed in you. And for the next 25 years, as Abraham waits for that promised son, God repeats those promises. Reminds him time and time again that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, as much as the sand that you find on the seashore, and one of that seed, one of those descendants, would be a blessing to all. There is no other God, and only God promised Christmas, said one of Abraham's descendants would come. Let's narrow it down even further. 2 Samuel chapter 7, the Lord also declares to you that the Lord himself will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up after you your seed, who will come from your own body. I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. If those words sound a little familiar, it's because that was one of the lessons from last Sunday. As you and I were reminding ourselves on that last Sunday of Advent that everything was ready, we heard God tell David that there would be a dynasty, that there would be a son of his who would sit on his throne, and this would be an eternal dynasty. His son would be on that throne. Head down to David's. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign for all of you. Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and named him Emmanuel. Very familiar prophecy. There is only one God. Only God promised Christmas. He even told us how this was going to happen. Told us about the virgin birth. Told us that there was going to be one who, humanly speaking, can't have children. But this is the one through whom the birth would take place. Where is it going to happen? But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, from you will go out the one who will be the ruler for me in Israel. His goings forth are from the beginning, from the days of eternity. The eternal God, the one who has no beginning and no end, is actually going to be born in Bethlehem, that small little town. There is no other God. There isn't any other God who is able to come together, consult together, and come up with all of this. Only God promised Christmas. And you and I knew that it was coming. But not only is this the God who said this was going to take place. I mean, anybody can make promises. Anybody can make predictions. You're used to those kind of predictions. You're used to projections. People are going to take a guess as to what the stock market is going to do, or they might take a guess as to what the grain prices might end up being, when you should be selling. Those are projections. Those are guesses. They might be educated guesses, but not everybody keeps every promise ever made. There is only one God. Only God promised Christmas. Only God provided Christmas. Isaiah is still looking ahead, and he's still hammering point this home. I am the Lord. Verse 22, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, because I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, from my mouth a righteous word has gone out, and it will not return unfulfilled. Indeed, to me every knee will bow, and every tongue will swear allegiance. Only in the Lord, they will say of me, only in the Lord is there true righteousness and strength. To him they will come and be ashamed, all those who are angry at him. In the Lord, all the descendants of Israel will be justified. They will be praised by him. There is only one God. And he wants you to know it. And so he comes and he makes this promise and says, I am the Lord. I am the only one that is there. I am the only one who comes in that perfect righteousness. I am the only one who comes with amazing gift of salvation. So turn to me. That's the other difference, right? Just as no other God ever came up with the promises and never made the predictions, so there is no other God who ever came to us with that invitation to turn to me. I'm the one who's going to save you. I'm the one who's going to bless you. I'm the one who's going to take care of you. Every other God that you and I have created in our minds always demands from us. You've got to go to him. You have to give to him. You need to do something. You need to say something. You need to think a certain way. You have to offer whatever. And then maybe this God will like you. There is only one God. Only God provided Christmas. He came to us. He comes with the promises. He is the one who saves. And he wants you to be so absolutely sure about it, and he wants you to know about it, so he says, my righteous word goes out. I'm going to send the message. I'm going to tell you how this works. I'm going to tell you what I promise. I'm going to tell you what I've done. And that righteous word does not lie. That righteous word cannot change. The righteous word will not lead us astray. And then God does something else just so that you and I can be absolutely sure that this is the only God. He says, I swear by myself. When you and I properly swear, we're asking, not usually, always, that's what swearing is. You're asking for somebody who is bigger and stronger and more authority to back up what you have to say. There isn't anybody bigger or stronger or more authority than God. And yet he swears. Swears by himself. He wants you to be absolutely sure, absolutely confident that he can provide what he promises. And so he sends out that word. And he talks about how every knee is going to bow. And eventually that day is going to come when everyone is going to be swearing their allegiance to him. Believer and unbeliever alike. The New Testament picks up on that verse. That when that last day comes, everyone will know that there is only one God. And only God provided Christmas. Jesus kept the promise. Jesus did exactly what God said he needed to do. And so in our Lord and in our Savior, in that precious little baby, already you see him doing that as he's being held by Simeon. Mom and dad are bringing him into the temple. They're already doing the things that God wanted them to be doing according to the law. He is already being absolutely perfect so that when that last day comes, the gavel can go down and God can say, Christ is just, Christ is righteous, therefore you are just, and you are righteous. The guilt has been removed. The sin has been taken away. The things that would have kept you out of God's family are no longer there. God now wraps you in his blood so that we can do the things that the second lesson describes for us as you and I rejoice in who Jesus is. Only God provided Christmas. And now you are declared not guilty. You are righteous. You are just. Satan is crushed. The promises are kept. You're forgiven. No wonder we praise. No wonder we sing. No wonder we serve. No wonder we do things to give God the praise and the glory, not just when we happen to be sitting here, but every day of our life, no matter what it is that we find for our hands to do. We have the opportunity to praise and marvel even by the fact that they will be praised by him. God praises you. Praises you because he provided Christmas. Praises you because he has wrapped you in Christ. And we get to thank. We get to honor. There is no other God. There is no other God that makes this whole thing possible for you and for me. Only God provided Christmas. So even if your tree has already been dragged out, even if you've caught your brain, perhaps moving on, even if the decorations are still up, rejoice in what this day is all about. Rejoice that Christmas is not over. Rejoice that you can still be thankful that you've got the Savior who came to you. And marvel today, even as you still gather around the manger and as you still listen to those familiar songs, rejoice in what this really means. There is only one God. Christmas proves it. Only God promised Christmas, and he didn't fail you. Only God provided Christmas. He will never fail you. Amen.